Today, I want to talk about baptism. A few weeks ago, Bill so graciously filled in and spoke about our connection with God and what it is that when we are united with Christ. And we spent a few weeks examining some of the things that Christ said about himself and about us and about our relationship with him. And so this week, I wanted to unpack a little bit about baptism, because we have, as a religion, certain markers in our lives that God has ordained to us. In the Old Testament, there were a number of feasts and festivals, days that he set aside, ways that God made places in people's hearts and minds and lives to set aside and mark their relationship with him. And in our modern Protestant kind of way, there's very few. I mean, the fact that we are in this building is evidence of that. I mean, this is a moose lodge. You know, it was. It's not that building elaborate churches is bad, and I think it's beautiful. And last week when I got to go visit, I visited some that had been around for hundreds of years, and the beauty of it, and the design that impacted the people who put their lives into it and designing it and telling the story of Christ in the form of architecture, in the form of stained glass, and its beauty is still as relevant today as it was the day it was made. But in our modern culture, that is the trend to be as non-traditional as possible. But I believe that there are some traditions, some things that we cannot pass on or pass up. And one of them is baptism. Baptism. Why is this important? Well, God created our brains, our minds, our hearts, and to remember certain things. And we have these markers in our life. This has been a study of psychologists. And in fact, in August 2013 copy of Psychology Today, there was a article by the name of Why Do We Engage in Rituals? Why do we engage in rituals? The report is a study by Dr. Catherine Voles of the University of Minnesota, and they studied people and the rituals and how that it impacted their activity. Now, for some of you in this room, you would have really loved to have been part of this study, and I'll tell you why. Of all the things that they could study, what they did was they decided to take a group of people and they gave them chocolate. Sounds good, right? And they what they did was they gave them pieces of chocolate that was wrapped in foil, and they said to some of the groups, I want you to just eat it like you would want to eat it. And they did. You know, rip it open. And then some of them, they said, I want you to pause and either meditate or pray or some form of thankfulness for this piece of chocolate. And that group did that. Another group, they said, I want you to just peel back half of it. And I want you to nibble it. And then wait until you undo the other half. In other words, they started creating these little rituals for them. And here's the interesting study. After they'd done this for a few thousand times, they found that the people who either prayed or paused or nibbled, or they created some ritual around eating this piece of chocolate, that when they asked them later, they said, how was the chocolate? Their experience was off the chart. I mean, they were like, you know, asking, like, where did you get, is this like some kind of special chocolate? Is this from like Switzerland? Is this like handmade? Like, what is this? Oh, I've never had chocolate so good. And then they ask the people, they go, for those who just kind of ripped it open, threw it in their mouth, and swallow, what was that experience? They're like, it was okay. Why? What they found was that rituals help us to heighten the positive experience. Now, do you think that the Creator God who made our minds probably knew that? Do You think that's why he sets aside certain days at certain times? We all do this. Special holiday meal traditions. We could have turkey any day of the year, right? Or pumpkin pie. I made a pumpkin pie this spring. Everybody freaked out. They're like, it's pumpkin pie. Like, what is it? Why when I say pumpkin pie, immediately you think of what month? May. No, October, November, the fall months, right? When I say baseball, what do we think of? Spring, right? Especially if you're a Cubbies fan, because that's only when you play. I got to be careful. My Yankees probably not going to play this fall. So you guys got 1 year out of 100. That's okay. It's good. But that's special. For those of you who are Cubbies fan, you will remember last October. You better remember it. Why do we remember it? It was in that moment. How about birthdays? Do we have special rituals that go around birthdays? What do we serve at a birthday party? You serve cake, right? Pumpkin pie, yes. Why do we serve, and what do we put on the cake? Candles. Now, is there some cosmic rule that said that we have to do that? It's a ritual. How about weddings? Do you know that two people get together, they go down to the courthouse, they stand before a court official, and they sign a piece of paper, and at least they have one witness with them, they are married. Or you can go and hire a wedding coordinator and a wedding band and a wedding photographer and a caterer and a flower person and invite 600 of your closest friends and sweat and cry and fight and fuss. Oh, yeah, and then you got to pick, say yes to the dress. and spend, you know, as much as the small country's GNP. And you're the same place that this couple is. So why do we do all that? My father-in-law asked that question in 1997. He's still asking that question. We do these things because we want to create these moments in our life. We want to create these markers in our mind. Our brain is chemically designed so that it makes a marker that this event is significant. That having pumpkin pie with grandma on Thanksgiving is different than when you get, you know, a Pop-Tart with your buddy at school on a Tuesday at 8 a.m. It's a different experience. So we have this ordinance that we call baptism. So I want to unpack a little bit about what is baptism. In its basic, fundamental core, it is a ritual cleansing. Ritual cleansing. It intensifies the experience of the event, and it can teach us or instruct us of deeper meaning. Now, this goes all the way back to the Old Testament. Before the Israelites came before God at Mount Sinai, God said to Moses, he said, go and tell everyone to wash themselves before they come and approach me. And they did. And then when God passed out the law and he handed down the Jewish system of the priest and the law and the Levitical rules, he then set up the rule. He said, I want the priest, before they come in and bring me sacrifice, they have to do certain things. Exodus 29:4 is one of these recordings. He says, bring Aaron and his sons. These are the men who were set aside to be the priest. Bring them to the entrance of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. Now, eventually they went on to build a tabernacle and eventually a temple. And in that tabernacle, they built what they called a bronze laver. Now, a laver is basically a giant basin that was made of bronze. And in the tabernacle, and then afterwards in the temple, it was after the altar and before the Holy of Holies. So in other words, after the priest had made the sacrifice, they would cleanse themselves. Symbolically saying, if any sin that may have contaminated me in the process of atoning for others, if it had gotten on me, I'm washing it away before I enter into the presence of God. When Solomon built his temple, which was the equivalent of one of the wonders of the world, no money expense was withdrawn or withheld. He built a brazen that was nearly 8 foot tall and nearly 15 feet wide. And this is what the men would go up and they would cleanse themselves of. But here's the thing. And we read it throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament. We read it in Hebrews that the Old Testament way, it was not complete. Because what it was doing was washing on their outside. David writes this in Psalm 51. He says to God, "Wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow." David recognized the cleansing could not come from me. I don't care how big a basin. I don't care how fancy it is. As impressive as your cleansing ritual is, it was never enough. David recognized, you, God, alone can cleanse me. The cleansing of baptism was symbolic, but the true cleansing came from God. And it still does. It has to be from the inside. So that was baptism. It was a ritual cleansing. So what is the purpose of it today? What is the purpose of baptism? It is a ritual that intensifies and improves our experience. And it provides instruction and teaching of a deeper lesson to be learned. Now, those of us who are parents, or those of you who were parents at one time, that you had little kids at home and you would instruct your kids to do things. Many times we do it because we're trying to teach a deeper lesson, right? It's the Mr. Miyagi experience. Wax on, wax off, paint up, paint down. Oh my gosh, Dad, why am I doing this? But then comes the moment, the day, when you get to explain to them and they see the truth of it. And we have that experience, just like Daniel did in The Karate Kid, if you've ever seen that movie, right? The first time, whoa, wax on, I block the block. Whoa, kick up, kick down. He's like, oh, I know karate. Jesus and God have this plan, and they teach us these things. And we're always like, well, I wish they would just talk to us. Well, here's God. God tried that one time in Mount Sinai. If you know that story, there's a group of people, all the Israelites are like, well, we're tired of hearing from Moses. I wish God would just speak to us. God said, okay, come here. And he spoke to them. And they trembled and feared and cried and ran away. So sometimes God's like, I have to teach you something by teaching you something else. And so here it is, baptism. Now, we all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, right? For it is by grace that we are saved, not by works, by faith. So there's nothing that I could do. Let's just get that out in the front. Nothing I could do that will bring me any more salvation. Baptized or not baptized. It's not a matter of life or death. It is not the matter of salvation. It does not bring me salvation. Christ's death, as we just sang, is written in red on the cross. That is what brings us salvation. But yeah, he is adamant that we still participate. He still commands and asks us to participate in baptism. Why? A couple of reasons. Number one, baptism is an act of obedience for the believer. It's an act of obedience. We are a royal priesthood, 1 Peter 2:9. And as a priest, we are commanded to go through ritual cleansing. There is still symbolism there, and there's still a lesson to be learned by that process. It should be a reminder to us. As we sang earlier, for him to draw close to us and us to draw close to him, and we will rise to meet him one day. The only reason for that is because of him. It is not us. And in the meantime, until that day happens, we are walking with him, and he wants us to be close to him. And in order to do so, we have to cleanse ourselves. And we cleanse ourselves by being connected with him and obeying him. Jesus, time and time again to his disciples, said, if you obey my commands, I will know you're one of mine. Obey my commands, and people will know you're one of mine. Obey my commands, obey my command, obey my command. Now, is he just doing that because he's this cosmic killjoy and he's just got this control freak thing going on? No, because he loves us. And he's like, obey my command and you will learn. Wax on, wax off. And eventually one day you're going to be like, oh, I know karate. It's an act of obedience. Jesus commands his disciples to do this in Matthew 28:19. We all know this is the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of men, baptizing them. Now, every word that Christ gave while he was here on earth is important. But do you think some of the last things that he was trying to instruct his guys to do before he left, those are like the main things, right? You know how it is when you're leaving the house for the day? You remind your spouse or your kids, don't forget like this one thing. Out of all the things today, there's this one thing. And Jesus is about to leave, and he's like, go and make disciples and do this. Baptize them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Out of obedience. Second thing baptism is, it's a public testimony for the believer. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before the Father in heaven. There is a certain amount of indignity about getting wet in front of a bunch of people. Especially when you have like a spread right here, right? Well, I tell you, it is a thing that no one wants to be embarrassed, and it shouldn't be embarrassing. It should be rejoiced. But so many people I have talked to over the years, when I was in jail ministry, people are like, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be embarrassed. It's not cool. There's some kind of front that I got to keep up. And I would tell them this, whoever acknowledges before others, I will acknowledge before my Father. Now, the other part of that verse is that whoever doesn't acknowledge me, I will not acknowledge him. We acknowledge God by going and submitting ourselves, by being obedient and submitting to baptism. You know, Jesus himself did it. Before he launches his ministry, he does two things. He fasts and prays, and he goes through baptism. He symbolically recognizes what God has done, and he says, I'm going to do the example, set the example for all my followers. He acknowledged his Father before others, and his Father acknowledged him. Did you notice that in that story? What's at the very end? He comes out of the water, and this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. That's what Jesus is trying to show us. He's giving us that picture. If you will acknowledge us here, acknowledge me and my Father here on this earth, I will acknowledge you in heaven. Third thing is, baptism gives identity to the believer. Romans 6:4-5 says this, we therefore were buried with him through baptism into the death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in death, we will be united with him in his resurrection. Baptism gives us identity. We are part of a body that goes back some 2,000 years and which will continue on for all eternity. Often when I would do baptism services, I would start with Ephesians chapter 4. It says, we are baptized in one spirit. And I would tell inmates when I would do these services, or I would tell other people that when we do this, you're not just getting baptized here and there's like maybe a group of you being baptized. You're being baptized into a chain of people, into a body of Christ that goes back 2,000 years. That includes people like Paul and Peter. People like your grandparents, if they were believers. People like your great-grandparents. People like others who, throughout time, have baptized themselves into, have been baptized into the body of Christ and now wait for us in heaven. It's something so much bigger. We do it because we're obedient. We do it because it gives us identity. But we do it because it is an outward expression of an inward decision that we've already made. We are baptized to unite with Christ, but how do we unite with Christ? Only because of his sacrifice. There's four steps to this. It's very simple. It's number one is that God desires good for you. There's some truths about this. Now, I want to mention these things because a few weeks ago in July, I got up here and I kind of challenged myself and I challenged all of us that we have not had a baptism here for a while. And it's not about the fact that we want to use our baptismal. The fact of it is that I want to be excited that we are bringing people in who are accepting Christ. And so my challenge that week was, can we bring people to Christ? Because that's what it celebrates. That's the marker that we're celebrating. And here's the truth about coming to Christ is, number one, that God desires good for you. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you, to do well for you, to bless you, not to harm you. A lot of people paint God as this guy who's just waiting for us to make a mistake. And that's not what he's doing. He's like, I love you. I want you to do good. But there are some rules in life that you need to follow in order to do good. And we break those, and those are things that we call sin. And the second thing is that sin separates us from God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The good news is, because God wants a good plan for us and has a blessing for us, is that Jesus provides a way for us. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ suffered once for sins, speaking of his time on the cross, and he did so to bring you, that's you and I, to God. Jesus provides the way to God. The fourth thing is that when we do this, when we accept that God has done this through Jesus Christ, that we move from death into life. John 5:24, Jesus says, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed from death into life. So what is baptism? It's a ritual. It's a celebration. It's an activity that we use as a marker in our mind, spiritually, mentally, psychologically, to say, I am with Christ. To celebrate that, I'm going to state right now that on September 17th, it's about a month from now, we're going to have a baptism service. And I'm praying for one of two things. I'm praying for either that there will be people who have not yet accepted Christ who will between now and then. Or that there are those of you who may be in this room who maybe internally have accepted Christ, but you haven't come forward with it. And this is your opportunity to be obedient and to make a public proclamation of your acceptance of Jesus. And so I want to ask right now that we as a congregation will be praying that there will be those ready to be baptized on the 17th. In closing, I want to leave with 1 Peter 3:21. It says this, speaking of baptism, This water symbolizes baptism that saves you. It saves you not by the removal of dirt from the body, but it's by the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We want people to be saved. End of story. That's why we celebrated these volunteers who went and served. Why did they go serve? They served the body, but they served by reaching out to spread the light of Christ, to share Christ with others. We're praying for school teachers, and we're praying for school workers and engaging with the community. Why? Just so we feel good? No, because we want to create opportunities where we can either evangelize or encourage people who are already in Christ. When we move forward as a church and we talk about building buildings, or we talk about adding staff, and we talk about doing new programs, why do we do that? Not to be busy, not to inflate ourselves. We do it because we want to create ways in which we can engage others who have been far from Christ and bring them close. People who are in death, in sin, and bring them to life. And so I'm going to close in prayer, and I want everyone here this week and for moving forward, I know many of you already do this, but please be praying. That's what we do, that we stay on focused. We can have great music. We can have great sermons. We can have great graphics and great interaction and great programs. But if we do all of that and no one comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we fail. So we want to be people who share this truth. Yes, we want to baptize, but more importantly, we want to see people come to Christ. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just so much that we could be thankful for, and so much that you already have done for us. But God, we know that you have still things that are going to be amazing. Things that are going to blow our mind. So God, I just ask right now that you would just help us. Help us to be consistent, to be faithful to your message, to your mission. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, and I ask others to join this prayer, that there will be people ready to be baptized because they have accepted you, and they are ready to publicly declare they're united with you from here on out for all eternity. They have put their hands to the plow. They will not turn away. They are looking forward only to you. God, it's easy sometimes to kind of be a fan from afar and internally just say, yeah, I believe in those things. But God, when you stand up, when you make a public proclamation, you mean it. That's why we do it with weddings. We stand before you and before witnesses saying we have committed to each other. God, I pray for men and women who will stand and say, I am committed to you, Christ, and you alone. May we do this not to bring any attention to us, but may we do it to build your kingdom and bring glory to your name. Amen.